Page Chof Aleph Amir Aleph. Chof Aleph Amir Aleph. The Gemara is in the middle of discussing the Dinam of Kriya. We finished Shmur Kreva Shmur Rechaika. The close within 30 days, after 30 days, there's all discussion. Do you do Kriya? Don't you do Kriya? The halacha is for parents you do, for everybody else you don't. The Shiva, as we said, the halacha is that after 30 days you sit Shiva for a few minutes and that's it. Within 30 days you have to sit the whole full Shiva. And then the Gemara is discussing where do we learn that you have to tear Kriya and where do you learn that you have to tear standing. So there's one opinion that it says, Vayakam Eev, that Eev got up and tore his garment. And then the Gemara asks, okay, now the Gemara says, Amir Ami Bar Chama. This is the same source, basically. The Minayin the Kriya Shuma Umat. How do we know that you have to tear Kriya standing? So we're on Chaf Aleph Amir Aleph, four lines in the top. So he says, Amir Ami Bar Chama, this few lines we learned. Minayin the Kriya Shuma Umat. How do we know that you have to tear your garment standing? Shenema Vayakam Eev Ayikra, Eev got up and he tore his clothing. So from that you see that you have to stand up. So the Gemara asks, how do you know you're obligated to stand up? Dilma Milsi Yaser Sehudiyavid. Maybe Eev did something beyond the letter of the law. You know, it doesn't say he had to stand up. He said he stood up. So maybe he wanted to stand up, you know, to be more machmir. But how do you know that you must tear Kriya standing? And the Gemara says, I'll even prove it to you that he did it because he was stricter. The Eile Temach, if you don't say this, it says also in the Pasuk, Vayogas Esreishe, he tore the hair off his head. Now, Hochanami are going to say that you have to do that. You don't have to do that. So why did he do it?
That's
Asur. Well, you're right. That's another issue. That how did he do it if it's Asur? Anyway, but the bottom line of it, I don't know, I was thinking of that. But the bottom line is, it could be, by the way, he didn't make a bald spot. The Isur is ripping out hair, making a bald spot. If you just rip out hair, I don't think it's necessarily forbidden. Okay, but the question is, but you see, he did something that he didn't have to do. So maybe this that he stood by Kriya, by tearing the garment, is also because he wanted to. So the Gemara says, okay, it has to be from another pasuk. Al-Mihacha, it says, by David HaMelech, it says, when he heard that his son died, Vayokum HaMelech, Vayikaraz Begodov, the king got up, David HaMelech got up and tore his garments. So again, you see that he stood up. So again, the Gemara asks, "Vidilma milsi yaseir asavid." Maybe there's something beyond the letter of the law, and I'll prove it to you. Because I'll prove it to you that David HaMelech also did something that he didn't have to do. Why? Because it says, "Vayish kavarta." He went to sleep on the floor. So you tell me, Hochanami, that that's what you have to do? You don't have to sleep on the floor. In fact, Dumar said you have to turn over the bed, but you don't have to sleep on the floor. Today we don't do that, but. And the old times he used to turn over the bed. But you don't have to sleep on the floor, and yet David HaMelech did it. Why? Because he wanted to go beyond the law. So maybe this that he stood by tearing his garment was also beyond the law. So Gemara says, but Tanya, now we will learn to the Braisa, that it says, Yosh, that you don't have to sleep on the floor. Okay? In other words, he says, Tanya, we learned, Yoshan al Gabi Amita, or Yoshan al Gabi Amita. If a person did not overturn the bed, and he sat on the bed, you know, without a mattress, al Gabi Udaina Gedela, or on top of a chair, al Gabi Karka on the ground, Lo Yotze de Chivase, he didn't fulfill his obligation. Meaning, in the dinim of turning upside down the bed, so the Braisa says like this, if you slept on the floor instead, you did not fulfill your obligation. If you sat on a bed without a mattress, you did not fulfill your obligation. You need to turn over the bed. Okay? So you can't say that David HaMelech slept on the floor to fulfill his obligation instead of turning over the bed. Because the Braisa says it doesn't help. You have to turn over the bed. Just sleeping on the floor is not going to help. And Rabbi Yechanan says, what does it mean, Layotzi de Chavase? What obligation did he not fulfill? He didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Kfiyas Amita, overturning the bed. That means even sleeping on the floor does not take the place of turning over the bed. So therefore, the Gemara is proving, the fact that David HaMelech slept on the floor, could not fulfill an obligation. Yet he did it because he wanted to go beyond the letter of the law. So maybe this that he stood by Kriya, by tearing the garment, also means that he went more than the law demands. So again, the Gemara asks, how do you know that you have to tear your garment standing? So the Gemara says, Amalei, he answered, Ke'ein Arza. It doesn't mean David HaMelech slept on the floor. David HaMelech slept on the floor, meaning in an overturned bed. This is the way the Gemara is answering, the way Rashi learns. Meaning, maybe David HaMelech Taka turned over the bed. And that's what the Pasuk means when it says he slept on the floor. So then David HaMelech didn't go beyond the letter of the law, because he Taka turned over the bed. Therefore, when it says that he stood up to tear Kriya, to tear his garment, that means he also did according to the letter of the law. So therefore the Gemara proves, and this is the final answer of the Gemara. This teaches us, bottom line is, that when you tear Kriya, you have to do it standing. We learn it out either from Iyuv or from David HaMelech. And by the way, once we learn it out from David HaMelech, that David HaMelech Taka stood up and tear his garment, then the Pasuk of Iyuv, that Iyuv also stood up to tear his garment, basically also teaches us that you have to stand up when you tear your garments. Yeah, well, maybe he went beyond the letter of the law. But from David HaMelech you see that it's not beyond the letter of the law. Therefore, when Iyuv did it standing up, itaka means that he had to do it because he had to do it.
My apologies for...
You're apologized.
What is the significance of standing up when tearing Kriya as opposed to sitting down? What's the significance for the standing?
What is the purpose of it?
The purpose of standing.
I
mean, I associate standing usually giving honor to something. In this case, you're...
I don't know if it's honor or not.
Is it a mitzvah? But not all mitzvahs we do the standing.
Right? No, it's not. It's not... But you know what's an interesting halacha? It says if you did it sitting, you have to do it again. I mean, Shulchan Aruch says you have to do it again, which is even stranger.
Yeah, you might think, well, he did it sitting down. Somehow, he's yotze. Obviously, it's not.
But somebody else has to do it. He cannot do it himself.
Right. But I'm saying the guy that's actually tearing somebody else just starts it. But the person himself has to tear the garment. Now, let me see if they say.
Does someone else need to start it, or you want to do the whole thing from beginning to end?
No, the person must do it himself.
No, but does he have to have a different guy to start for him? Or?
No, if he didn't, it's fine. The custom is somebody else just starts it. Just trying to think, where do we start this Gemara of standing? Was... One second. Third time. I don't know if the Gemara learns it out. I don't know. The Gemara is not saying the reason why you have to do it. The Gemara just says we learn that from the Pasuk and finished, you know? I don't know. May I have to... Ahmad? I don't know. I don't know what the reason for tearing is standing. I don't know. I'm sure there's a reason. I don't know. Okay, then the Gemara says... Tan Rabbanon, the Rabbanon learnt. Okay, now starts a lot of the dinim of what an oval is not allowed to do. It's interesting, before in the Gemara, like 5 pages ago, the Gemara said the sources of all these dinim, but the Gemara didn't say the things that an oval is obligated or forbidden to do. So now the Gemara is going to say like this, Tan Rabbanon, Ve'elu dvarim sha'oval asibem. These are the things an oval is forbidden to do. Now, meaning forbidden to do, we're talking about an oval in the middle of Shiva. We're not talking about the year or 30 days, just the middle of Shiva. Asa b'malacha, he's not allowed to work. And the Gemara is going to explain, by the way, each one of these dinim. Asa b'malacha, he's not allowed to work. B'dechita, he's not allowed to bathe. B'sicha, he's not allowed to anoint himself with oil like he used to do, you know, smear themselves with oil for fragrance or whatever. Tashm shamita, marital relations. Nila sasando, and he's forbidden to wear shoes. In addition to that, also likris b'teira neviim b'ksuvim. He's not allowed to study teira neviim b'ksuvim. The lishnah is b'mishnah b'medrash b'alochas b'shas b'hagodas. It's forbidden to study mishnah, medrash, halacha, gemara, and agada. He's not allowed to do all these things.
For 7 days.
Yeah. Now we'll see in Taisus over here discusses other things that this Braisa so far is saying what he's not allowed to do. The Braisa is not saying what you have to do, like turning over the bed, or and Taisus is going to discuss, we'll see in a second. The Braisa so on is basically so far saying things that you're not allowed to do. Now, things pertaining to Avelus, you're allowed to learn. Okay, now, the din of all these things, like it's a malach and all that, the Gemara is going to discuss. First 3 days is one din, afterwards is another din, and so on. What happens, though, if a lot of people need him, meaning he's a public lecturer, and if he's sitting Shiva, and he's not going to lecture, people won't be able to learn Torah, then he doesn't stop from doing it. That means he goes to lecture, even in the middle of Shiva.
Wow.
That's what the book says. And the Gemara says, Maisu meis b'neisha Rabbi Yesi b'tzipeiri. There's a story that the son of Rabbi Yesi passed away in Tzipeiri. V'nichnas l'beis ha-medrash. And he went into the beis ha-medrash. V'dadash kol ha-yim kulei. He taught Torah the entire day. Even though he was in the middle of Shiva. Why? Because Rabbi Yesi was a big Tana of the Mishnah. And everybody needed him in the learning process. And therefore, he was able to go learn. By the way, this din is even halacha today.
You could lecture on a week of morning?
If the person's a public figure that people need him to lecture. He's the only one that can...
So let's just say... Some big rabbi is part of passed away. They know he has to sit Shiva, so he can't be lecturing.
The Gemara tells stories. The Gemara even story with Rabbi Kiva did the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi did the same thing.
Today?
Today they don't do it, because today you have people that
it
can...
today.
Because today you have people that can... substitutes.
Yeah.
Substitutes. Or today you have everything's written in the books. You have to understand, in those days, everything was oral. No scholar, no learning. I mean, today, the scholar doesn't come take a book and learn, you know. In those days, the Talmid Chacham didn't show up. They closed down. There was nothing else to do. Now, Taisus over here discusses, if you see, the middle of the page, Taisus says, Elo Dvam Shavu, part of the Taisus is very interesting. Taisus says, basically, what does the Mishnah say you can't do? Work, wash, smear, marital relations, shoes, and you can't learn. Okay? Now, Taisus asks, there's a bunch of other things in Avul should do or shouldn't do. So he says, Taisus says, the Gemara is not saying those things that you have to do, like Kfiyas Samita or Atifa Sarosh, you know, with the thing around the head. Because the Braise is only mentioning things, like we said, that you're not allowed to do. Then Taisus asks, but it says you're not allowed to wear tefillin. Or She'ila Shalom, he's not allowed to give Shalom Aleichem. So why doesn't the Braisa say he's not allowed to wear tefillin and he's not allowed to give Shalom Aleichem? So Taisa says, Leichoshev, those they don't mention. The Ains are Kol Yimei Ha'Avol. Because that's not for the duration of all 7 days. Tefillin is also, we're going to see in the Gemara, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, different opinions. But, so, here the Mishnah, the Braisa is mentioning those things that are forbidden all 7 days to do. Tefillin, he can't maybe do 1 or 2 days. But the other days, he's allowed to. The same thing with Shalom. And then he says, Tachbeisus Lechoshev, he doesn't speak about washing clothes, because that's part of bathing. And then Taisus, you know, discusses, you know, then Taisus says, like we learned a few pages ago, Taisus says, why don't we do Kfiya Samita? Why don't we turn over the beds? So Taisa says, because the same thing it says in the Gemara, that if you're in somebody's house, what happens if you're a guest in somebody's house? And then you find that, God forbid, somebody passed away. So you can't turn over the guest's house. Why? Because he's going to be afraid you're a magician. Black magic. Kishuf.
I'm sorry, what's required of turning over the bed?
He used to turn over the bed.
the whole frame?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about just the mattress?
No, turn over the whole. They didn't have mattresses in those days. What do you have? They sit and sleep. With you're killing me, Larry. They didn't have that stuff. They had the straw beds with the poles and the whole works. Uh-huh. And Taisus says, we live amongst Goyim, therefore today we don't do Kfir Samita. And then Taisus says also, another reason why we don't do Kfir Samita, because our beds are made differently than theirs. Okay? Now, another thing, Taisus in the next Taisus says another thing. Our Braisa said, you're not allowed to learn Torah, period. He doesn't make any exception to the rule. Now Taisa says, from here, who is this? Rabbeinu Yitzchak, his grandfather, said, that from here you see, you're not allowed to even learn the things that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. Because when the Braisa in Taina speaks about Tisha B'Av, over there it says those things that you are allowed to learn. In the Dinam of Tisha B'Av. Okay, it says, you can't learn Torah, but, you know, the story Kamsa by Kamsa, the bad things in Yirmiyo and Iyov and those, but you're allowed to learn. Here, Taisa says, the Braisa doesn't say that. The Braisa just says, you're not allowed to learn. Torah, Nevi'im, Aksuvim, you can't learn Mishnah, you can't learn Gemara, you can't learn anything. And the Braisa doesn't say, but, sad things you're allowed to learn. So Taisa wants to prove from it that Yitaka can't learn anything. But then Taisa disagrees with that, and whatever. It's not a raya, and the pearl today we learn that an ovel during Shiva is allowed to learn those sad things, like, you know, laws of Avelis and things like that. Okay, back to the Gemara. Then the Gemara says like this. Rabba Barbachona Yisra Bei Milsa. Literally means an unfortunate thing happened to Rabba Barbachona, meaning somebody passed away. Savar, he thought, you know, when he was sitting Shiva, so Rabba Barbachona thought, the Leila Meipik Limpirka, he shouldn't go to deliver his public lecture because he's sitting Shiva. Amalei Rab Chanina, so Rab Chanina said, what do you mean you're not going to yeshiva? Imayu Rabim Srichim Lei, we learned in the Braisa that if you're a public lecturer and people need you to lecture, ain't a nimna. You can't hold yourself back from going, you have to go. So he said to Rabbi Barbachana, what do you mean you're in middle of Shiva, you don't want to lecture? People need you, you have to go lecture. Okay, so he said, okay, you know what? He thought, you know what? Okay, like this, he used to give the lecture himself. He'll set up what's called a meturgamen. Meturgamen means, like, huh?
Translator?
It wasn't so much a translator. A meturgamen.
It was like Aaron.
Literally, meturgamen means in translator in Hebrew. But in the olden times, they used to have the lecturer. And then, it depends what type of. But no, there were different types of meturgamen. One type of meturgamen is most Talmidei Chachamim spoke calmly. You know, they didn't have that many kids that they screamed at. They speak calmly. So they would have a guy that they would speak softly, and their guy would say it loudly. And then a second type of a meturgamen was that if the people didn't understand the lecturer himself, because he was like over their heads, this guy would bring it down to earth for the people to understand. So there was two types of meturgamen. But anyway, so Rabbi Rav Chana sat Shiva. He was thinking not to go to lecture in the middle of Shiva. So Rav Chanina says to him, what are you talking about? Rabbi Mitzrichim, like everybody needs you, you're allowed to go. So he said, okay, you know what? Let me, instead of giving the lecture myself, I'll do it with an Amir to show some type of change, at least. Amalei Rav, but Rav said to him, you can't do that. Tanya says in the Braisa, O Bavachal Yamid meturgamen. You can't have a meturgamen. Why? Because then you're demonstrating that you're a mourner. And that's also no good. You know, if you're giving the public lecture, you can't show that you're a mourner. So he says he can't set up a meturgamen. So he said to Rabbi Barbachana, listen, you have to go lecture, but you can't set up a meturgamen because that's also no good. So therefore, the halacha is like this. During Shiva, you're not allowed to learn anything. Well, we don't know it. According to Allah, you could learn this bad things. I mean, nothing's bad, but sad things. If you're Rabbi Mitzichim Lai, you're allowed to publicly lecture. But you cannot establish a meturgamen, and you need to do it by yourself. So the Gemara said, so what should he do? In other words, what should such a guy that Rabbi Mitzichim Lai that's lecturing in the middle of Shiva, what should he do? So the Gemara tells the story what happened. Ki hod Tanya, like we learned in a Braisim, Maisel Meis Benesha Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, passed away. V'nichnas the Beis Hamedrash, and even though he was in the middle of Shiva, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi came into the Beis Hamedrash. V'nichnas Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya v'yoshev b'tzidei, and Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya sat in his side. V'locha shul Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, Chanani ben Akavya, and he wasn't. I'm going to talk. What he did was like this: Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi whispered to Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya. Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya whispered to a Meturgamin, and then the Meturgamin said it loud. So in other words, it wasn't the Meturgamin of the mourner, it was a Meturgamin of somebody else that the mourner whispered to. And that's what the Gemara says, this is what you have to do. Meturgamin Ishmael Rabim. And the Meturgamin already publicized it to the public. So the Gemara says, what do you do if a public lecturer is sitting Shiva? He sets another Talmud Chacham next to him. Not a Meturgamin, a regular Talmud Chacham next to him. He whispers to him, he tells it to the Meturgamin, and the Meturgamin tells it to the public.
That probably would take a while.
Well, what does one achieve by that? Well, what does one achieve by that?
Well, you want to show that he should show that he's a mourner. Get this way to Mefarshim explain.
It's only the 7 days or
30? No, the whole seven, only seven. He should show he's a mourner, and therefore he has to lecture, but it says you cannot establish him a Meturgamin, okay, because you don't want to deviate from the regular procedure. So therefore he says it to somebody who says it to the Meturgamin who publicizes it. That's what you gain by it.
So that means they didn't use the Meturgamin all the time?
Not all the time, no. No. But, well, at least Rabbi Baruch Hanna didn't. Because Rabbi Baruch Hanna, they said to him, he wanted to make a Meturgamin in this case, so he said no. It seems in the Gemara that most of them did. I mean, B'chalim, when you learn the various Gemaras about Meturgamin, it seems that most of them did do a Meturgamin, but obviously some of them probably didn't need it.
During Avelus or B'chlal?
B'chlal. The Abi, you see, Rabbi Baruch Hanna, his mashma never used a Meturgamin. Because he says he wanted to make a Meturgamin to show that it's different. That means he didn't, always. Now, obviously, it probably depended on the size of the crowd, the caliber of the crowd. You know, if you need somebody that understood him straight away, or they needed somebody to explain it a little bit more. By the way, this is all the reason why a novel can't get an aliyah during Shiva. Mm. Not to get an aliyah, because it says he's also to read Chumash, you know, read Mishnah, it's
even
learning.
Shabbos, right?
Even Shabbos. Because Shabbos is still part of Shiva. It's just public availus you don't show on Shabbos.
Question. What? My father died in Simchas Torah. And you know when the second story, everybody gets an aliyah?
Right.
I don't remember if I got one or not.
You should have, because otherwise that would be public mourning. Mm. Unless you walked out and nobody would know that. But if you were there and you were explicitly not getting an aliyah, that's a public sign of mourning, which is forbidden.
Well, but I sat Shiva the following week, though.
Yeah.
If the Shiva is cancelled because of Yom Tov,
yeah,
these rules still apply? Don't,
no.
They do not.
No. Once Shiva is over, Shiva is over.
So you don't,
yeah, it's no. It's not like Shabbos, where even though you don't do Avelis on Shabbos, but private Avelis still applies on Shabbos. Which means you still can't shower, you can't have marital relations, you can't learn regular learning, like that. You can't get an aliyah. If a novel is in the middle of Shiva on Shabbos, he can't get an aliyah. Unless. If he's a person that gets an aliyah every week, and if he doesn't get an aliyah, it's going to show publicly that everybody's going to say, why aren't you getting aliyah because he's in mourning? Then he would have to get an aliyah even in the middle of Shiva. But otherwise, Allah says that he's not allowed to get an aliyah because there's still, you know, getting an aliyah, learning Torah is not a public sign of a veilus, it's private, and then that those dinim still apply.
That's applying. The role for a Kohen and Levi,
Well, if you have one kai in the shul and he always gets an aliyah, yeah. In fact, there's a story that there was a guy that always wore non-leather shoes in Shabbat. He always wore non-leather shoes. Always. 7 days a week. I'm talking about 100 years ago. And he was in the middle of Shiva, and he came to shul with those shoes. The Rebbe's father was in the Rebbe's father's city. He was a big rav there, and he said, he told the guy he's not allowed to wear those shoes on Shabbos. Even though every Shabbos of the year he wore them, but now people will think that he's wearing them because of Avelus, because he's in the middle of Shiva, and that you're not allowed to because that's a public sign of Avelus.
But what's the problem with the public sign?
Shabbos you're not allowed to show any sign of public Avelus.
Oh, Shabbos?
Only on Shabbos. I'm talking about during even Shiva, I'm saying.
Okay.
Even during Shiva,
yeah,
Shabbos you don't show any sign of Avelus. You don't wear the torn clothing, you wear regular Shabbos clothing. What?
There was this great rav that heard the news his father passed away on a Shabbos, it was normal.
And then he fainted. They tell us about a lot of tzaddikim. They tell about a lot of tzaddikim, like this story. Okay, then the Gemara says, "Tan Rabbanu learn." Now, again, like I said in the beginning, not all these Gemaras are according to Halacha today, but this is the Tan Rabbanu learn. Aval Shleishi Yamim Rishenim Asul Aniach Tefillin. The first 3 days of Avelus is forbidden for him to wear tefillin. Mishlishi ve'elach, from the third day onward, ushlishi bechlal, including the third day, mutar laniach tefillin, he's allowed to wear tefillin. That means, in practical language, it's a very funny thing. The first 3 days he can't, but the third day and onward, you could. So why are you saying 3 days?
We already have this.
No, but it's saying. Huh? No, not after midday. The Gemara is going again with this concept, the mixes yem kukule, and this is what the Gemara is teaching us. In other words, really, 3 days you shouldn't be wearing tefillin. But why on the third day can you wear tefillin already? Because part of the third day went by until you wore the tefillin, and then it's counted like a full day. So it's like 3 days you didn't wear tefillin. Because again, mixes a yem kukuli, part of the day is like the whole day. Now, what happens in bo panim chadashis? What happens if new people come on the third day? Meaning, they're going to see you wearing tefillin, and they're not going to know it's the third day. They might think it's the first or second day. Nevertheless, ein ocheilus, he doesn't have to take off the tefillin. And we'll explain this then as we see the other opinions. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's what Rabbi Eliezer holds. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's as follows. First, 3 days no tefillin, but the third day you could, and the rest of Shiva you're allowed to wear tefillin. If on the third day you're wearing tefillin and somebody comes, a new face, yeah. No, let me preface with one thing. In the olden times, they wore tefillin the whole day. It's not the pshat for davening. In the time of the Gemara, they wore tefillin the whole day. Unless they went out to do a demeaning type of a work. But otherwise, they wore tefillin the whole day. That means when the guy was sitting Shiva, he wore tefillin the whole day. Right? Because he was home. They wore tefillin the whole day. So Rabbi Eliezer says, if on the third day when you're already allowed to wear tefillin, somebody comes to your house, so I would think you should take off the tefillin, because if they see you wearing tefillin, they might think it's the first or second day. And then they're going to think that you wear tefillin the first and second day. He says, nevertheless, you don't take it off. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Rabbi Yeshua Amed, and he says, like, Rabbi Yeshua argues. Rabbi Yeshua says, Aval shnei yom merishena masal lenech tefillin. You can't wear tefillin the first 2 days. Misheni visheni bechlal. The second day onward and the second day included, mutar lenech tefillin. You're allowed to wear tefillin.
Second day?
Yeah. Well, it's like the third day. Second opinion, Rabbi Yeshua says that you can't wear tefillin for 2 days, but starting from the second day onward, you could wear tefillin. But vimbo panim chadashes. But if a new face comes, chelis, you have to take off the tefillin when they're there. Then, when they leave, you put it back. Meaning like this: the guys that came the first days saw you already without tefillin, so they know that this is not the first or the second day. But if a guy never came, and they're going to come on the second day, on the first day. On the first day, you have to take them off.
Why should we care that people even would take this?
Because we don't do things that cause people to make to there's a pasuk in Chumash. It's a very interesting pasuk in Chumash. It says V'yisim nekiyim mi'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael. A person has to be cleaned mi'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael from another Jew. And the Gemara counts numerous halachas that a Jew has to not do things that people will suspect him of doing things wrong. Mm-hmm. I'll give you two examples that the Gemara that come immediately to mind. When the Kayanim went in, you know, there were pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, lishkas, the various pushkas that people would put money into, yeah? He says when the Kayanim emptied those pushkas, they had to go in with garments without any pockets. Why? Because you know what the Jews do. Oh, he probably pocketed some of the money, and he probably stole some of the money. And so he had to go in, and the Gemara says, why did he go in with long robes without any pockets? The Gemara said, V'yisim nekiyim Hashem u'mi'Yisrael. The person should be clean, not only to Hashem, but even to another Jew. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says, if I'm collecting tzedakah, and I'm going in the street collecting tzedakah for people. Used to have in the old times, people used to collect tzedakah for the people in the city, yeah? And you owe me money. Private debt, nothing to do with tzedakah. And you meet me in the street, and you say to me, hey, by the way, I owe you $100 here. And you give me a $100 bill? Yeah. I cannot put it into my pocket. I have to put it into the tzedakah pushka. Oh. And then when I come home, in the privacy of my house, I take it out. So Gemara says, why? So again, the same thing. A guy sees you giving me money in the street. What, the guy knows that you owe me money. He knows I'm collecting tzedakah. He's going to see you giving me money, and I put it into my pocket. What's he going to think? I'm stealing money from tzedakah. I am not. Who cares what people think? Who cares what people think? The halacha is, you have to care what people think. That's the halacha. You're not allowed to do things that can misinterpret or be misconstrued in a negative way. So if the oval is wearing tefillin, and a guy will come in, and he'll assemble a new face, and say, hey, one minute, the guy's sitting shiva, maybe it's the first day, why is he wearing tefillin? He's going to learn a wrong halacha. So Gemara says, you take it off. Again, this is not the mitzvah of tefillin. The guy's wearing tefillin the whole day, so he took it and put it back on. So now the Gemara says like this. Lepero, we have
the guest could assume that if he's wearing tefillin, it's probably not the first day, it's probably the second or the third day. If he wears tefillin, obviously it is the third day.
No, people don't think like that. People are ignorant. There's a rule, people are ignorant. Yummy time, in today's world, people see people doing things and they misinterpret the halacha in a complete way. It's unbelievable. I mean, there's thousands of cases, but people see somebody doing something and they say, oh, he's doing it, so then you're allowed. It's a completely different story. No. People don't look at it that way, and the Chacham were very careful about it.
Okay, but there's no end to the thing, because there are no end to the bizarre conclusions that people can draw from watching somebody do something.
One picture is a thousand words.
You do the best you can. What do you mean?
That's one example. One example is if you go to the bathroom, let's say you go to the bathroom at McDonald's, right? You take a yarmulke off.
Well, I don't know if you take a yarmulke off, but anyway, yeah.
You walk in McDonald's with a yarmulke?
You don't walk in there?
People think it's kosher. People don't think, come out, people might think it's kosher. And I'm going to take a McDonald's, whatever. But you have to go to the bathroom. So you come walking out, people might think, well, that's kosher. They might go in there.
Right, there's a lot of people that will not use a McDonald's bathroom because of that.
But if you have to go to the bathroom.
I understand. You got to go, you got to go.
For example.
But but what happens if you have two choices?
Well, yeah, okay, you have two choices.
Why? So what's wrong with going to McDonald's bathroom?
Nothing.
Okay, but why shouldn't you do it if you have an option?
I understand.
Okay, because you don't do things that I ain't a dove self. I mean, yeah, but you do as much as you can in within the framework. I mean, okay, now Amar of Masses. The Amar of Masses is explaining the argument. Rabbi Eliezer says, you don't wear tefillin for 3 days, even though the third day you could. Rabbi Yeshua says, you don't wear tefillin for 2 days. So he said, what's the argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So he says, Amr of Masa, my time, and Rabbi Eliezer, what's the reason of Rabbi Eliezer? Because it says, Vayitmu Yemei Bechi Evel Mesha. The days, plural, of tearful mourning for Mesha were completed. Therefore, it means the first 2 days. Okay? So now, this is the whole thing the Mefarshim discuss. So why does Rabbi Eliezer say 3 days? If the Torah only says 2. He says really 3 days he can't wear. Right? But the third day, part of the day is a day. Right? So they have to, the Mefarshim say, what they have to mean over here, what the Gemara says, is that Yemei Bechiyevel Meshe means 2 complete days. Plus a little bit more. And therefore, on the third day, mixes a Yem Kukuli, so therefore, you could do it. And then he says, Amen Avina, what do you see from the Pasuk by Meshe Rabbeinu? It's 2 days minimum. Yemei Bechiyevel Meshe. So there's 2 days of Bechi, so therefore you're not allowed to wear tefillin. And then he says,
mourning for 3 days?
Huh?
You're mourning wish for 30 days.
Yeah, but it says, Yitmu Yemei Bechi Evel Mesha, and then it says later 30 days.
Right.
But he says, so then my time is Rabbi Yeshua. So why does Rabbi Yeshua say 1 day, basically, instead of 2? He says, because it says in the Pasuk, Vacharisa Bikiyemar. Hashem said, I'll make the land mourning like the end of a bitter day. So from there you see Avelis is 1 day. So in other words, and in fact the Gemara is going to ask, but then now there's a contradiction of Psukim. One Pasuk says, Avelis is Yemei Bichievel Meshe, minimum 2 days. And another Pasuk says, it's Yem, Kiyemar, 1 day. So which one is it? But then the Gemara is going to discuss it. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua, the Gemara asks the question, according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says 1 day, because it says Kiyemar, but he says Haksiv Ayitmu Yemei, but it does say by Meshe Rabbeinu plural. So how could you say 1 if there's a pasuk that says 2? So he says, Amalach Shani Meshe the Takev Avli. You're right, Meshe Rabbeinu was different. And now the regular Jews' mourning period, and this is another question, by the way, that Rishonim discussed, we talked about Minatayim and Rabbanan, but they say like this. The fact that by Meshe Rabbeinu says 2 doesn't mean every Jew should have 2. Meshe Rabbeinu day was double of everybody else, so it's 2 days. But the fact that there's a pasuk kiyemar singular means you do it 1 day. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, Hanami Oksiv Achrisi kiyemar. How could Rabbi Eliezer say 2 days when the pasuk does say kiyemar? What the Gemara is really doing is asking a contradiction of the psukim in a nicer way. That's all. So the Gemara says, you're right. Iker Merido Chad Yema. You're right. The main bitterness is 1 day. But there's a second day also that you don't wear tefillin. In other words, he answers like this. It's a very simple thing. There's 2 ways of answering the contradiction. One pasuk says 2 days, one pasuk says 1 day. That's the bottom line of the Gemara's question. So you can answer it in 2 different ways. The opinion that says 2 days is the primary thing, right? Says, it says 1 day. He means 1 day is the worst of the two. But really it's 2 days. The other opinion says, no, Avelis is 1 day. By Meshe Rabbeinu it says 2 days. Because Meshe Rabbeinu, the tzaddik, it was any more double. So now the contradiction of the psukim could be answered, whether you hold Avelis is 1 day, or whether you hold Avelis is 2 days, it's not a problem. If you hold it's 2 days, why does it say 1 day? Because 1 day is the real bitter day. Mm-hmm. And the other opinion says, you have to keep 2 days, why does it say, you keep 1 day, why does the pasuk say 2 days? Because for Meshe Rabbeinu was 2 days. What?
Meshe Rabbeinu was 2 days when he mourned about somebody, or
when he died.
When the Beis Hamikdash.
Yes. Yes.
Before entering.
Correct.
But didn't we learn the other parsha for Yom Tov? Said the main 3 days, the main.
Yeah, that's what he said. He stopped 3 days.
The Gemara is going to get into that. There is a difference. 3 days and 2 days. But The Gemara is learning like this. Because tefillin is a mitzvah, we want to minimize as much as possible that he shouldn't wear tefillin. Now, tefillin is called pe'er, glory. So the Gemara is learning, you can't wear glory in a time of bitterness. But the Marshall, we're going to learn, work and things like that, the first 3 days is stricter than the rest of the days. But that's about not doing things. Here we're talking, you have a mitzvah to wear tefillin every day. You know, how much are we, let's minimize the amount that we're not having the guy put on tefillin. Right? So one opinion says, listen, the minimal is 2 days. Where do we find minimal avelus 2 days? V'meishen Abeinu. The other opinion says, no, we find minimal 1 day. Kiyaymar. So let's keep tefillin to 1 day. No tefillin. Why should we extend it more than we have to? But this that we learned before, 3 days versus the 7 days, you know, even in halacha, even in today's halacha, where we keep shivin and all that, in halacha there's still a difference the first day, after 3 days, and the 7 days. There's still a difference. Because, you know, the avelus is not, the first day is the worst, and then the, I'll give you another example. In halacha it says, the Gemara is going to make a mention later, you don't be menachem ovel. It says in Pirkei Avot, "Atesnachem b'shas shemeisim mutar lefanav." You don't. It's okay. You don't comfort the mourner when his dead is in front of him. So I said, "What does that mean?" The first 3 days. Today's already Poskim rate that today it's also done in the 3 days because it's a whole different world today. But
what's the meaning of the, "is in front of him"?
That day, the first 3 days, it's still very difficult on the person. Then it eases off a little bit.
I thought maybe 3 days took to bury it to get
over. No. This is after the burial. We're not talking about before the burial. Okay. For the burial is a whole different din of an einin. That's a different story.
Okay. Well, so based on this, at least at this point, 1 day, at least 1 day, one is not supposed to wear tefillin.
According to
right.
This halacha at the present, correct. Our meaning is we were to put on tefillin with a bracha, without a bracha, but we do tefillin privately anyway.
That's
a pikabola. What?
7 days?
No, everybody holds for the 7 days you wear tefillin.
Yeah.
The first question is, the first day do you wear tefillin or not? So, in Shavuot it says the first day you don't.
What do you mean privately?
You don't go to shul wearing tefillin.
Usually you have minyan at your house.
No, that's out by Shiva already. But I'm saying, the day you hear Avol B'yom Rishon, it depends again also, we'll see later where when you hear it, you know, the technicalities of it.
Here is, again, you said Ornin or in the Sheba, so how can you difference between them?
No, Ornin is from the time of death until the funeral.
Okay.
I thought you're not supposed to wear any tefillin at the time.
I tell you, in the Kabbalistic world, they wear tefillin privately, even unless I'll give you an example. Well, the way it works is like this. If let's say somebody passes away Sunday afternoon, okay, so Sunday morning the guy already wore tefillin. I'm talking about the children, let's say, right? Sunday morning they wear tefillin. The funeral is going to be Monday morning, right? What they'll do is they'll daven after the funeral. Mm-hmm. That is, before the funeral they won't daven with a minyan. They'll say Kaddish, which is different customs, but they won't daven at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock minyan. Mm-hmm. But after the funeral, they'll go put on tefillin. What happens though if the funeral is going to be...
3 days?
No, 3 days. That's what's going to be.
Three
in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And you'll come home maybe after Shkia. So then, privately, they'll put on tefillin.
What if there's a delay in the burial and the person's not buried for 3 days?
Then after the first day they'll put on tefillin.
They don't.
They will, but they will. Privately.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And suppose they will daven in the minyan?
No. If any, they'll say Kaddish maybe.
So they'll come to show, they'll say Kaddish, but they'll not do the full prayer.
Correct. They won't daven. They'll just say Kaddish. And privately they'll daven. In fact, that's also another dispute in customs. In halach it says that most opinions say you don't say Kaddish before a funeral. Our custom is that we do. You know, a lot of places the custom is that they do. Many places the custom is that they don't. Again, In Avel, I want you to know something. In Avelus, whatever you do, you have opinions that say like you're saying. It doesn't matter whatever you're going to be doing, you're safe. Because whatever you're going to be doing, there's an opinion that says like you.
What about the before that we have that it's a rabbi or a personal public figure?
That's only learning, not about anything else.
No, but he's outside, not in his country or in his city. He gets the news that someone died. But how do you say if he's in Onan or...
It depends. If he's going to the funeral, he's not going to the funeral.
He's not going. He's outside of the country.
If somebody passes away, let's say in LA, and they're being buried in Israel, yeah? So let's say, just to use days, somebody passes away Sunday in Israel, in LA, they're taking him Sunday night to Israel, correct? And the burial is going to be either Monday night or Tuesday by the time you get to Israel, correct? So those that go to the burial in Israel, the children that follow, they start sitting Shiva after the funeral. The people that stay here start sitting Shiva right away.
And
as soon as it goes to the airport, they sit Shiva.
And if it was a Shiva? Mm.
Like, and they get up earlier, obviously.
And if they weren't in the same place, he was born, raised, grew up in Israel.
Doesn't matter where you're born, raised.
But no, but they are in a different country at all. They just got a phone call.
Then you start sitting Shiva right away.
Even if the burial like will be in an hour later.
Oh, so that's a machlekes and halacha today. There's two opinions. Do you wait until after the burial to start shiva? Do you start right away? A lot of different opinions. It's a big machlekes about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, Amar Ula. Ula said, halacha k'rab Eliezer b'chalitza, v'halacha k'rab Yeshua b'hanacha. It's a very interesting expression. He says the halacha say k'rab Eliezer that you don't take off the tefillin if new guests show up. Because remember, Rabbi Eliezer said, you don't take off the tefillin. Rabbi Yeshua said, you even wear tefillin on the second day, but you take them off. So the Gemara says like this, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer by chalitza, that means, you don't take off the tefillin if the panim chadoshes, the new face comes, but the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, by hanacha, by putting on the tefillin, you start from the second day. Not like Rabbi Eliezer that tells you start the third day. So now the Gemara says, Iboy Elohu, what is it? It's unclear, his statement. Because Rabbi Yeshua said, you wear tefillin 2 days, but you take them off. Ula said, you don't wear for 3 days, and then you do, but you do take them. No. Rabbi Eliezer says, you don't wear tefillin for 2 days, but you don't take off the tefillin. Rabbi Yeshua says, you don't wear tefillin 1 day, but you do take it off. Okay, now, Ula says halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Which day? Second, third, which day are we talking about that you don't take off the tefillin? Ibai lohu, b'sheini lo'ula chelitz, or eina chelitz. When Ula said, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer b'chalitza, that you don't take off the tefillin. Does he mean on the third day, or does he mean even on the second day? Because Rabbi Eliezer is speaking, on the third day you start wearing tefillin, and you don't take them off. But what do you do on the second day? Because he says the halacha in that respect is like Rabbi Yeshua, that on the second day you do wear tefillin. But on the second day, if a guest comes, you take him off or not?
No,
because he said on the third day you don't take it off. But how about the second day? Because that's unclear. So the Gemara says, Tashma, I'll tell you, Ula himself says what the din is. He says, Ula says, Chelitz umaniach afilu mea pa'amim. You take on, put on, take off, even 100 times. Now, this halacha cannot be referring to the third day. Because the third day, it says you don't take off the tefillin. Right? You don't take off the tefillin. So it must be for the second day. Yet Ula says, 100 times you can put the tefillin on and off. That means on the second day you do take off the tefillin. So Ula says, on the second day, meaning like this, the way Ula paskins, you start wearing tefillin on the second day, but if a new guest comes, you take them off.
But on the third day, you don't take it off.
No, because it says, like Rabbi Elazar is on the third day, you don't take it off. Right? But how about on the second day? See, Rabbi Elazar says the second day you don't wear tefillin either, only on the third day. And then you don't take them off. But now he says, no, we don't do that. We put on tefillin on the second day. So now the question is, but do you take it off or not?
That's a question. If a new face comes into the house.
He's not referring during davening, by the way. We're talking about...
Right, I understand. He's wearing the tefillin. A new face comes in. Obviously, the guy sees him wearing tefillin. He's going to take him off. What difference does it make? He sees him with tefillin. He's taking it off. I mean, we're assuming that he's going to probably see him, because otherwise he wouldn't even know there's a new face there. So they're probably seeing each other. So the guest sees him with tefillin on, and the guy takes it off. So he just saw him take it off.
But this is only for the first 2 or 3 days. That's it.
Right, but
in other words, the question is, so why on the fourth day? Yeah, but the question, on the fourth day you put him on, or the third day? According to all opinions, you put him on and leave him on.
Right.
Maybe the guy will think it's the first day. In other words, this is the Gemara learns that you're not afraid of.
So, if that's the...
In other words, the only problem is the first or second day about the new face. After the third day already, including the third day, nobody's going to make a mistake that it's the first day.
Mm-hmm. No, but he means by the time that he's going to take it off, the guest is already in and he's going to see
it. The guest saw him already with the tefillin on, so what difference did it make if he took it off?
Unless he knows
the halacha that he took
it
off.
Unless he knows.
We have to see. According to this law, we're supposed to see.
It doesn't say that they saw him, it says they come.
I understand. No, he's asking a practical question. I mean, according to the Gemara, it implies that before the guys walk in, you already take it off.
Right, exactly. You saw
the... And what happened? And the guy saw you already, so then what...
So what's the point?
Think about it. If the guy already saw you, he caught you in the act of wearing tefillin.
Exactly.
What, are you going to take it off? What do you accomplish by taking it off?
Right.
So obviously the Gemara says it's probably the fact was that...
They did not see each other.
Huh?
He was told that Joe is in a lobby for him.
Other side, sure.
And he took off the tefillin and
to greet him,
to see him without tefillin. Not wearing tefillin.
Yeah, but it's funny. Come on, I mean, it's a little, unless they had different setups in those days.
It's possible. Maybe he was sitting alone in a room or something.
Once the guy's wearing tefillin, the guest comes in and sees him, what's the purpose of taking him off?
That's right.
Why do you assume he sees him?
I'm saying, if he does.
Well, because it says
a guy walks in. Listen, they didn't have in the olden times lobbies and 10 rooms until you got to the main where the guy's sitting shiva, right? The houses were one big room, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the guy walks, and they didn't have doors like we have today with shutters and everything, right? A guy walked into the house. Unless you go with the concept, there were courtyards, and you saw him coming into the courtyard, and then by the time he came into the house, you were able to take off the tefillin.
Or you go by and it takes time to get permission to get in, like standing outside.
Well, you know, that's true. That could be true also. Maybe they had someone at the door. Whenever someone new would come in, they would send a message.
Why would they?
They'd send a message to the devil. There's a new person coming.
Standing out to the door and waiting to get permission to come in.
The doorman.
Is it the daughter then?
Look, if anybody says anything here, they don't.
See, the Egyptians, they come from one side of the house.
The according to Rabbi Nachman, like Paskins, and this is basically the law. I mean, that you don't wear tefillin one day, second day you start wearing tefillin, like Rabbi Yeshua says, and you don't take off the tefillin. But the Gemara is going to say, Rav says, no, I'm sorry, we skipped it. Tanya Nami Hachi, Yudah ben Tema Emer, Chelu to Maniach Afilu Meya Pa'amim. So it's just clearly you take it off or not. Rav Amar, Rav says no. Rav argues on what we just said. Ula says, you have to take off the tefillin the first day. You know, if a new face comes. Rav says, Kivin Sheniach Shuvay Nechelitz. Once you start on the second day of Shiva, wearing the tefillin, you don't take it off. Okay, you don't have to take it off. Even if the new people come, you leave the tefillin on. So the Gemara says, "V'adavu da Amar halacha ketana didan damer shleisha." But Lachera Rava said before in the Gemara that the halacha is like the Tana Kama that says 3 days you don't wear tefillin. So how can Rava say here that on the second day you're already wearing tefillin? So the Gemara says, "Oh, I'm sorry, that shit not tefillin because the Gemara's going to answer it's a mitzvah is different." Rava said before that in order for Yom Tov to take off Avelis, you need 3 days Yom Tov. Shiva for Yom Tov to take it off. So that means Rav holds 3 days is the Ikar Avelis. And here he says in the second day, like we explained before. Another like we explained before, and this is what Rashi says. Because it's a mitzvah, laniach tefillin, the sooner the better. The sooner the better. Okay. So now the Gemara continues to start. The Gemara continues, says, son of Rabbanu learned like this. Avel shleishi yam rishenim asib b'malacha. The first 3 days, a mourner is not allowed of shiva. The mourner is not allowed to do work. Afilu anin anim spanis min tzedakah. Even if it's so poor that he lives in tzedakah, basically means the guy needs every cent. The first 3 days he's not allowed to work. Mikan ve'elach, if the guy needs mamish desperately needs for the money, so after the first 3 days, eisa b'tzina b'teich beisei, he's allowed to work discreetly in his house. That means a regular person is not allowed to work until after Shiva. Until after Shiva. A pauper who lives in tzedakah, so even then, the first 3 days he can't work, and afterwards he could do it in his house. And then the Gemara says another easy piece of Gemara. I'm sorry, I skipped. A woman who's very poor, after the first 3 days of Shiva, could spin with a spindle in her house. Meaning to do, speaking again, a poor woman, not a regular woman sitting Shiva. A very poor woman, after 3 days, could do whatever work, spinning or needling or whatever.
Weaving? I don't know if it's weaving.
Huh?
Weaving or weaving spinning. Is different. W-E-A.
Spinning, making yarn.
Spinning.
Same thing. In fact, they ask a question over here, and this he brings out the bottom, of Farshim, the Paskim discuss, do you say mixa sayem kakule by this too? That means it says, on the third day onwards she can do work. Does it mean on the third day she could already? After a little bit of time? Or even that not? That's machlekes. Then it says, turn Rabban alert. Now, what happens if a mourner wants to go comfort another mourner?
Wow.
Okay, can he go to another mourner to comfort him? So it says, Avel, Shleshi Yama Merishainim, Eina Helech Lebesa Avel. He cannot go to another mourner to comfort him. Mikan Ve'elech Helech, then he could, but he doesn't sit with the people coming to comfort, he sits with the mourner who is being comforted. Ve'eina Yeshibim Kema Menachemim, he doesn't sit in the place of the people who are comforting. Ella b'mokim amisnachem in the people who are being comforted.
He's sitting on the floor with the mourner.
Yeah, right. Because he needs to be comforted. He can't.
You want to say that some people go around make people cry? But what period do they do that? All from the
people? They like to go make people cry?